Yeah. The hump day, Decca, yeah. Why would I be doing that on a Wednesday? Because I'm hyped. Got a great midweek show for you. We are now 2 days out. Today's going to be good. Today's going to be fun. Got a couple of surprises for you and some really good things working. Welcome to the program. My name is Jim Rome. You're in the jungle. I'm in Southern California, and this program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so let me lay out part of it, but not all of it. Got a couple of surprises for you. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. That is not a surprise. You know what that number is. You know what to do with that number. Get up in here. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, a surprise guest coming up at the bottom of hour number one. I'm not giving that up. But a surprise guest coming up in hour number two, a running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers, James Conner. Also in hour number two, a defensive tackle for the Cincinnati Bengals, DJ Reader. In hour number three, the head coach of the LAFC, Bob Bradley. We are talking soccer. I'm doing another soccer interview. And why is that? Because when you want quality soccer talk, you know where to go. You know who to turn to. Me. Bob Bradley coming up in hour number three. It's going to be a very good day. It's a Wednesday, so we've got the ATP. And as you know, our smack off is now 2 days out. Also, it's a Jim Rome podcast day. Episode 134. The star of that ep, Daniel Cormier. I don't want to go on record with something like this because I don't want to come off as biased and not objective, but I think Daniel Cormier might be the single most engaging athlete I've ever spoken to in my career. That good of a guy. And it's that good of a conversation. I know because I already had it. We laid that down yesterday. DC, Daniel Cormier, joins me a little bit later on today. All right, quickly, here is your number again. Use it. 1-800-636-8686. The field is pretty well set, but maybe you jump in and shake things up and grab that golden ticket before it's too late. Also, we're 2 days out, so if you're going to RSVP and you have not done so already, do it today. Do it right now. All right, let me start with the NBA. Now, a while back, when it looked like Major League Baseball actually had its act together, the league released a 67-page health and safety document which outlined the steps that would be necessary if they were going to be able to return to the game to play. That's baseball now. It was actually pretty well detailed, even down to discouraging high fives and licking fingers. The NBA apparently saw that document, and then they raised the detail, or at least the page count. MLB came in with 67 pages. The NBA comes in with 113 pages for their return. And as you might imagine, there are some pretty serious details involving everything from testing procedures to procedures for ping pong and playing cards. And as always, it does raise the question, right? If you have to have a 113-page document to make it safe, is it really safe? And the answer is, let's not get into that just yet.
Let's not get into that yet.
Teams are divided into three hotels, which, despite the earlier jokes, really were determined by the team's record, which is pretty amazing. The top four seeds in each conference get to go to the Grand Destino Tower. Seeds 5 through 8 or at the Grand Floridian. The teams that are currently outside a playoff spot are at the Yacht Club, which is perfect for that early fishing trip that they're all about to go on. And until July 21st, you are not allowed to socialize with players from the other hotels. And there's going to be something called isolation housing for players who do test positive. That's different from the accommodations that the individual had previously been staying in, and the only people in that location will be people who test positive. Also, everybody is going to have to wear a magic band at all times. That'll serve as their room key, a security pass, and a check-in for medical screenings and COVID testing. As you might imagine, The Athletic reported, quote, some player agents have expressed concerns in recent weeks about the prospects of wearing a band at all times due to the level of monitoring, end quote. Yeah, I would imagine that would be kind of a concern. Masks are required at all times, except for when you're eating or when you're in your own room. You are allowed to use the pool, golf course, and trails. You do not need to wear a mask for that. People on the bench during games do not need to wear masks. But if you're on the second row of the bench, you do. And according to The Athletic, there will be, quote, a players-only lounge with video games, including NBA 2K availability, arcade gaming, ping pong, movie screenings, DJ sets, ping pong tables, lawn games, and more. End quote. Also, golf is fine, but no caddies, no sharing clubs. Ping pong is cool, but singles only, no doubles, no teams. Cards are fine, but a new deck has to be used for every session. There also will be barbers available by appointment, as well as team-sponsored excursions. Again, it sounds a lot like a cruise and not an NBA season. And yes, you are allowed to leave the bubble, the campus. They really want you to call it a campus. They really want you to think about it as a campus and not a bubble, because nobody wants to be in a bubble. But if you do leave the bubble or campus and you leave without permission, you'll be quarantined for at least 10 days when you come back, and subject to what Brian Windhorst and Tim Bontemps describe as deep nasal testing. I'm not exactly sure what that is. Looking at the tape, looking at the video online, it all looks like deep nasal testing to me. And then there's my favorite detail of all from The Athletic. This is the best part, and I quote, if anyone on the campus sees rules being broken and worries that the actions of one individual might bring harm on the rest of them, the NBA will have an anonymous hotline available for reporting purposes, end quote. Now, that's awesome. Like, what page is that on? Do I have to read 113 pages to get to the best line in the entire document? What a great detail. A tip line. A narc line. A rat line. A snitch line.
Snitches get stitches.
The Chris Paul line. Because you know CP3 is going to have that thing on speed dial. That is incredible. A narc line. A rat line. If cell phone plans... still had favorites. One of his longtime friends is getting bumped because you know CP3 is going to be mashing that phone number over and over and over again. I mean, after all, this guy, I mean, great player, Hall of Famer, but this is the guy who busted Jordan Bell for checking into a game with an untucked jersey. Do you really think he's not going to call, especially if it's anonymous? Do you really think he's not going to call if he sees a player handling a golf club improperly? If he sees a player handing a golf club to somebody else? No way in hell Chris Paul is staying silent about that. If he sees somebody stepping inside of 6 feet, he's on that rat line. Thank you, Alvin. If somebody even thinks about playing a new card game with an old deck, that's a phone call. If there's even the slightest hint or joke about anybody playing doubles and ping pong, Paul is going to be all over that rat line. He'll be mashing that hotline until his fingers bleed. Now, he can not only get guys in trouble, he could get them potentially suspended or kicked out of the bubble. Campus. I'm telling you, this is so good. Getting guys to rat each other out is going to be truly special. I can't wait to find out how that goes, because it says right here it's going to go pretty terribly. And by terribly, I mean incredibly. Why stop there? If you're going to do this, do it right. I mean, go all in. They should fly Narc Bra in.
Bra.
And let him give them all the ins and outs of being a narc. He can run his own narc seminar. You imagine NBA guys spellbound listening to Narc Bra?
Bra.
Bra. Bra. If anybody tries to use a deck more than once, you rat, bra. Listen up, NBAers. That narc line is there for a reason. You snitches better use it, because you know Chris Paul will. And if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for the rest of you. Don't you narcs let me down. Once a snitch, always a snitch. Am I right, D'Angelo Russell?
Snitches get stitches.
And not only for health. You imagine if somebody tries to use that narc line for the wrong reason? What if they start to use that narc line to try to gain some sort of competitive advantage? What if you have a Laker narking out, say, Kawhi Leonard for something he didn't do, but they're able to get him out? What if they get him suspended? What if they get him isolated? What if they get him quarantined? What if somebody uses that narc line for the wrong reason? Then all of a sudden, we don't have to worry about them hanging a little asterisk next to the champion, but rather a big fat rat next to the champion. There's your controversy. It's not like, hey, do we hang an asterisk on whoever wins it all this year? No, maybe not, but you might hang a rat on it because of the so-called rat line. 113 pages, and the only thing that really matters, that line about the rats. A rat line. Yeah, you can go ahead and call that thing a campus, but we know it's a bubble. And you can call that thing a tip line, but we know it's a narc line. It is what it is, and we all know what it is. And I'm happy it's there. Get going, snitches. Don't let me down.
Snitches get stitches.
1-800-636-8686. Yeah, you can imagine some guy calling up like, hello. Hello. Yeah, is this the snitch line, tip line? Yeah, I saw LeBron. I saw LeBron in the hallway. He didn't have a mask on. Neither did AD. You're going to suspend them, right? They're out for the rest of the season, right? Yeah, LeBron didn't have a mask on. Or AD. Yeah. Well, I got you on the line. Yeah, Paul George, saw him playing blackjack. Did not use a fresh deck. And he hit on 17. What an idiot. What are you going to do about that? You're going to do something about that, right? Why is there a narc line if you're not going to move on those narcs? Come on, man. I saw it. They're not wearing their masks. They're playing cards. Oh, Giannis. I saw Giannis playing doubles in ping pong. That's against the rules, right? Suspend him, too. I like this narc line. Who am I? Who are you? Take care of those narcs. All right, in addition to that, that's not even the craziest thing. There is a narc line. The craziest thing might be Kyrie Irving. Not only is he allegedly, reportedly, trying to talk guys out of going to Orlando, he's trying to apparently, reportedly, talk guys out of the NBA altogether so he can start his own league, reportedly, allegedly. I've got thoughts on Kyrie. There's another story I want to get into, and although some of you are having some fun with this story, there's nothing fun about this story at all. There's nothing funny about this story, nothing fun about this story, nothing to make light of. I'm talking about New York Giants kicker Aldrick Rosas, who was arrested Monday after an alleged hit and run in Chico, California. And if what has been reported is true, that is a horrible story, a really awful story. And I'll have that for you too. 1-800-636-8686. I meant to get to it yesterday. I want to try and talk about it today. The 49ers, they lock up Kyle Shanahan. He gets to his second contract, a six-year deal. It's a no-brainer. It's a brilliant move. You have to take care of that guy. He outperformed that contract. Get him another one. Now that they've taken care of that, they need to take care of John Lynch too. I consider those two guys a package deal. Also, we are 2 days out, so I've got a lot of advice. The brass tacks of the smack off. Where to watch it, how to watch it, how to listen to it, where to listen to it, everything you need to know if you're not calling that day, how to find it, and how to participate. All of that is coming up. And when we come back, some special smack-off surprises. All of that's still ahead. Don't go anywhere. Telephone number toll free, 1-800-636-8686. Now more than ever, we need people with the right skills to support our communities, especially the frontline workers who provide resources and care for those who are most in need. To help, LinkedIn is offering free job posts for healthcare and essential service organizations that need to quickly fill critical roles with the people who help us all. So if you're hiring for one of these organizations, job posts on LinkedIn can help you quickly find the right people for your front line. LinkedIn can help you find frontline workers from their active community of over 675 million members. I am one of them. LinkedIn Jobs screens candidates for the skills and the experience that you're looking for and puts your job post in front of qualified people who meet your requirements so you can find the right person to quickly fill critical roles. To post a healthcare or essential service job for free, or if you're in another industry and you've got hiring needs, visit LinkedIn.com/Rome. Once again, LinkedIn.com/Rome. Terms and conditions to apply. LinkedIn.com/ROME.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Bump back with another Smack-Off video. That was Brian Mbugaha, the commissioner of the Jungle Open. Welcome back. I am Jim Rome. Wednesday is an ATP day. Alvin DeLauro, go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Ask me a question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So I mentioned that we'd have a couple of surprises as it relates to the program and the Smack-Off. Smack-Off now is 2 days out. This right here is a first. Now, it's not very often that we have any firsts around here, not after doing this for the better part of 3 decades, but this actually is a first. On the line right now is arguably, and I'm going to qualify that by saying arguably the most important listener of all time. Now, notice I said listener and not caller. There's a major distinction to be made between listeners and callers. This is arguably the most important listener we have. Because as well known as this listener is, he has never, not even once, never ever called the program. This listener, however, runs the definitive fan site for the program. Every single day, he chronicles all the best moments from the show, including all of your phone calls. He has created a forum for every single clone to stay up to date and to stay in touch with all things Jungle. I laugh sometimes and joke sometimes. This guy knows more about the show than I know about the show. When you want to hear what went down at any point in the last quarter of a century on this program, a lot of you head right to his website. I consider this guy to be a Hall of Fame clone. Hall of Fame, first ballot clone. Because he's done so much for the show for so long. And it's been nothing but a great guy. Very nice, very passionate. He's made the Jungle a much better place. How many times have I said, ask not what I can do for you, but what you can do for the Jungle? How do you make it a better place? How do you elevate the conversation? This guy has made the Jungle a much better place. And has been a massive resource for us for a long time. But like I said, before right now, he has never called before. And there's a reason for that. He told Hawk the reason he's never called, he's nervous as hell. This is not where he lives. This is not what he does. But he is calling for the first time ever. So there's got to be a good reason for that. And I can't wait to hear what it is. Now, I would imagine if prior to this, if he never called because he was nervous as hell, I would imagine that big run-up didn't help at all. Brother, take some deep breaths.
Brother.
Let's find out what it's all about. We go now to the phones. We go to Steve in H-Town. He is the founding member of the wildly popular Stucknut.com, the voice behind the Twitter account at Stucknut, and a guy that I met just outside of Houston when I was there for the Super Bowl a few years back. He is on the phones for the first time ever. He is Steve in Houston, a.k.a. Stucknut. Nut. Brother, what's going on? How you doing?
Finally.
My man, finally. You did it, dude. You're on the air. Finally. How's it feel?
You're right, man. I was nervous before, but even worse now.
I got you, man. It's all good. I got you. All right, so let me ask you this. Just a couple of quick questions. This is easy, no curveballs. How long have you been listening, and how long have you been working on Stucknut.com?
Well, I've been listening since 98. Found you on 610 back in the day. And then the whole Stucknut thing started. I was a member of LiveWithMom.com, as you remember. And that was starting to fail, so I started Stucknut in 2005. And I've been doing it ever since, archiving the show. You know, got all the old audio from Live With Mom, so that's where you find it.
I love
it. That's what I do. I'm a loser.
Dude, you're not, man. You're not a loser. You're a stud. How many visitors to the website do you get every single week?
You know, I stopped looking at that because it's the main thing for a while was the forum. And those have kind of died with Twitter. So it's not nearly as much as it used to be, but SmackDown time is definitely a lot more.
Yeah, it's going to fire up for you right now. We're talking to the nut. He is Stucknut. He is Stephen H-Town. Let me ask you something, man. And it's not because, quote, you're a loser. Why do you do this?
Because I love the show. I want to give people a quick and easy way to keep track of the show and the callers, and I think I like the show within the show. I want to keep that going. You know, I love the smack, you know, the clone-on-clone crime. So I want to give them a quick and easy way to go back and find the call so they can respond, usually in the same show.
Hey, Nut, listen, I mentioned that you've been doing this for a long time, but you have never once called the program. I know there's a reason why you're calling the program, other than the fact that you're just killing it and tearing it up right now. But why are you calling today? Who put you up to this? You must have something to promote.
I do, and I don't want to go Alonzo Mourning and just get straight to the pitch, but we're doing a Smack Off after show again. You'll be able to find it on my Periscope at Stucknut and on Stucknut.com. It'll start right after your show on Friday, and I think it's our 11th year in a row to do it. So it's just we take calls from fans and the participants and those who are left on hold. Those are usually the best calls we get. We also will do a pre-show the night before at 8:30 Central, just so we can make sure we get the audio and everything good.
Smart.
So the after show will be perfect.
Listen, I'm a huge proponent of this because what we do is normally we do the smack off and then we run off to the weekend and then people are left to respond the way they want to respond. They agree, they disagree, they go on social. But this is a great forum for them to interact. You've now done this. This is going to be the 11th year. Who is a part of the program? Who does this show? You and who else?
Well, we got Hedstrom Bacon and Pooldock. It's the three of us that run it. And that's the reason I'm calling today is because Hedstrom called 2 years ago, and then, of course, Pooldock called last year. We all remember that call. So here I am.
It's your turn, bro. It's your turn. Yep. All right, so they know, if they haven't heard the after show, where and how can they listen to this?
The easiest way is to go to Stucknut.com. I'll have it posted on the homepage. We record it, so you don't have to listen to it live. And if you do want to listen to it live, you can find me on Twitter at Stucknut. I'll have a link there to the Periscope.
Right, and again, I'm a huge proponent of the after show. It gets really good run. The interaction is really, really strong. Hey, Nut, for instance, where does the name Stucknut come from? For those who don't know, where does that come from?
That was from a old sponsor he had for PB Blaster. He used to say, if you have a loose nut, or if you have a stuck nut, put the wrench on the bench and use PB Blaster. And that was at the time that I registered the domain. So I figured, let's just go with Stucknut. And it's probably the worst decision I ever made.
Or the best decision. Nut, you're the man. Listen, I appreciate you very much. I consider you an integral part of the program. I appreciate everything you've ever done for the show, for the brand, for me and the clone. Sincerely, from me to you, you are a good, good dude. And I appreciate all the energy. Have a great after show. You nailed your first call ever. And it's great to have you on the program finally, Nut.
All right, I appreciate it.
Talk to you in 2045, my man. All the best, Nut. There he is, Stucknut, after all these years, finally called the program. He had never once called before, but has been chronicling the show for years. Let's get some of the reaction really quickly. At SA Sports Honk tweets, "Hey, Stucknut, quit calling weakling."
Keep calling weakling.
1 for 3 C1 tweets, "More Stucknut." Old G tweets, "Nut, nut, nut, nut." Polly in Indy tweets, "The Nut is one charismatic dude. I can listen to him all day long." Signed, Yoko Scream. Ed Quiggs 1225 tweets, "Steve sounds like he's about to war his fiance."
War me and my fiance and war Jordan.
Jesse in El Paso tweets, "Nut, nut, nut." Quiggs is back. "Could you ask Steve to remove the clothespin from his nose?" Mike D for 3 tweets, "Is it true that Stucknut received calling tips from Reggie in the OC?" Let me stop right there. All of you coming in and take a run at this guy, he admitted it. He admitted it. He's never called the show because that's not what he does. That's not where he lives, and he's nervous as hell. But the three of these guys, all great dudes, are doing their post-show, after-show, and it was his turn to call to promote it. He didn't do it because he wanted to. He didn't do it because he wants to be in the smack-off. He didn't do it because he was trying to get you to look at him. It was his turn. He had to. Man, get off his back. Peter tweets, "Ladies and gentlemen, Stucknut if you need him. Good job, sir." Right. Jamie in Green Bay tweets, "Nice job, Stucknut. Glad you didn't talk about global warming."
Global warming.
Johnny Scabs tweets, "Stucknut sounds like he's got a pocket protector in both pockets." Scott in Ventura tweets, "Stucknut is a legend." He is, too. DLH 1029 tweets, "So good to hear from Stephen H-Town. Love you and all you do for us clones and the show." Ditto. When we come back, more on the Smack Off and a surprise guest. More on the Smack Off and a surprise guest when we return. Still ahead, James Conner, Steelers running back, DJ Reader, Bengals defensive tackle, Bob Bradley, LAFC head coach. All of that still ahead, but first, here's a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Super block on the bump in. Smack off is Friday. You want to talk about a first? How about Stucknut? First time ever on the show as a caller. Good to see y'all picking him up.
Finally.
There's a first. All right, so as a reset for you, this year is the, and I mentioned I had a special surprise also for this segment. This year is the 26th annual edition of the Smack Off. And I am really proud of that, if you couldn't tell. It's an event that was born back in 1995, and I'm proud of it, not just in terms of its longevity, but the fact is, a quarter of a century in, it's as strong or stronger than it's ever been. To commemorate the Smack Off's quarter century anniversary, let me now read an excerpt from a book called The Handoff. This book was written back in 2013. It's not going to take you very long to figure out who the author is, all right? Check this. I'm taking right from the book. Quote, "Jim Rome is huge, and he has thousands of clones. That's what he calls the members of his radio audience who make up his hardcore listening base. He paints a picture of jobless losers and stoners living at home or in shabby basement apartments where they do nothing all day except geek out on video games and tune into his show, which he calls The Jungle." It continues, quote, "Recently, Rome has exploded onto the sports talk radio scene, outpacing Hacksaw and all the other hosts on the mighty 690. I listen to him every day. I'm hooked. But I'm not a clone. I have a job and a life and responsibilities, including my current most important position, third base for the Merrill Lynch softball team. Softball does not get me through the day. Sports Talk Radio does, and specifically Jim Rome. It goes on, and I quote, I call from work, juggling leads and thinking about my next call to Rome. When I'm ready, I call in. I exchange a few words with his producer, Joe Titino, and I wait on hold until Jim is ready to take my call. One time I insist the Knicks will go deep into the playoffs against the Bulls. When I finish, Rome laughs. He refers to me as JT the Brick from La Jolla. Brick being part of the jungle smack lexicon and Rome's term for the New York Knicks. When I make my next call to Rome, a few days later, he introduces me simply as JT the Brick, and I am born. It goes on, and I quote, April 26th, 1995, Jim Rome gives me a way out. Rome announces that on Good Friday, he will devote his entire show to what he calls the Great American Smack-Off, an invitation-only contest in which he will determine the best caller of the year. The winner will be crowned the King of Smack and will appear with Rome himself at three different tour stops. Over time, Rome's Smack-Off will become the most popular feature in the history of sports talk radio. End quote. The author of the book, The Handoff, and the excerpt, which I just read, obviously, is JT the Brick. JT the Brick won the first ever Smack-Off 25 years ago. Here is what his call from a quarter century ago sounded like.
Vance Smack, what an honor to be a part of the first annual Great American Smack-Off. The greatest city, the deepest tradition, and the best smack comes from New York and the bricks. When the earthquake hit, I didn't pick up the fish wrap to read about the damage. I looked to the box scores to see if the Knicks pulled out another gutty win. I have a passion to see Cal Ripken rupture a kidney this season than to see him break my beloved Lou Gehrig's record. Today is a celebration of smack. I compare my experience to when I pledged my fraternity back in college. For the first few months, I was a punk who had to wait on hold and pick and choose my spots to smack. Now I feel like the pledge master who gets to spank the new plebes on the butt while they say, thank you, JT the Brick. Can I please have another?
You want to talk about it first? Joining us on the line right now from his home in Las Vegas, Nevada, 25 years after he was on this same show making history, is JT the Brick. JT, brother, how the hell are you, JT?
Vance Smack, good to be back again. It's been a while. Thrilled to be here, especially to be here during Smack-Off week, which means more than every other week to me. Thanks for having me on.
My man, it's great to hear your voice on this show once again, JT. Now, you made history 25 years ago. You won the first ever Smack-Off. You are making history again because this is your first time on the show as a guest and the first time you've called on the hotline since 95. Take me back. What do you remember about that first Smack-Off?
Well, Jim, as you said, it was Good Friday, and I was a stockbroker at Merrill Lynch in La Jolla. And if you saw the movie Boiler Room or Wolf of Wall Street, that was my life at the time. And this was an opportunity to have a hobby on the side calling your show. So on that day, I woke up, and I went to Merrill Lynch in La Jolla, and it was closed. The stock market was closed. I walked in, I went up the elevator, I went to my office, and I cleared off the entire office. Took everything off the desk except for a phone in the middle. I had a yellow legal pad with about six or seven notes, bullet points, that would be jump in and jump out points. And I just waited. My heart started to pound. I knew it was an epic field. And I waited about an hour and 15 minutes until I called. And then I waited in line and knew I was ready. And at that moment, I knew that I had to deliver the best call I ever had to you. Because guys were getting run. I was able to get the call out. If I rehearsed it, I rehearsed it possibly once or twice. But if I did that call 100 times, I never would have nailed it the way I did on that one time only. When I finished, I hung up the phone. I instantly knew I won. I knew I won. I got in the car. I went back to my condo in La Jolla where the bricks were waiting. 20 of my guys popping bottles of beer, ready to roll, and just waiting for everybody to come in afterwards to see if I'd have a chance to win.
JT the Brick joining us on the program for the first time in a quarter of a century, reliving what it was like to win the inaugural Smackoff. JT, did you have any idea in that moment that your life was about to change forever?
No, Jim, and that's the key. You know, my life's always been about fate. You know, I get an opportunity, something happens. I wrote about it in my book, when one door opens, you go through that door. You don't hesitate. And at that point, I had no intention of being a radio host or anything else. And that opened up a door for me to get into radio, to buy time on Sunday night in L.A., to try to get into the business. And then my whole life changed. I had to walk away from being a stockbroker, which was a really good career at the time, and take a chance. My dad said, go for it. I got your back. And then I went on this journey that led me to Las Vegas and a 24-year career in radio. Thanks to that call, I tell everybody still to this day, if I came in second, fifth, seventh, everything changes. I don't meet my wife. I don't have the career I have. I don't have this life, which has been unbelievable because of the portal, which was the Smackoff that got me into sports talk radio.
You know, I really appreciate you saying that, JT. That's really not entirely what it is. I mean, you had that grind, you had that effort, you had that ambition, you had a vision, you went after it. You were doing really well as a stockbroker. You were making a very good living. That was a big swing. You took a big chance. You put yourself out there, and you executed. But I appreciate what you say about the program. Now, despite having an amazing career of your own, and you still have your own show, I know you still listen to the program when you can. Can you share with those who are in the Smackoff this year, what do you think is different about the Smackoff today as compared to back in 95 when you won it all?
Great question. What's changed, I think, is, you know, back then it was in full attack mode. People did not come in and just try to decapitate everybody and go after different regions and all of that. Not that there's anything wrong with it. I love it. It's unbelievable entertainment. But when I called in that day, my focus was on New York. You know, I was the Brick out west. I was the Knicks fan. I was the Yankee fan. I felt like I was going to war every day in the jungle representing my New York teams. I couldn't get that fix going to a Padre game. I couldn't get that fix just lying around and running around doing my job. So when I started making my calls, it was about New York exclusively because I wanted to be at my best. And then when I went into the Smackoff, it was about the 1994 strike and everything that had to do with New York sports at the time, and then taking a little bit of a run. But it was a lot different. It was more about pure sports back in the day. And how ironic is it now that we have this upcoming Smackoff and there is no sports?
Right.
There's no sports at all. So I can't imagine what we're going to hear coming up.
JT the Brick joining me for a few more moments. Now, JT, you and I will always be bonded by Smackoff 1, but 22 years after that, my current executive producer, Adam Hawk, happened to be your former executive producer at Fox Sports Radio. Was he the same ridiculous jack wagon working for you that he is now working for me? What was it like to work with the Sparrow?
Well, you know, working with him was a unique time because we really bonded quickly together. And I think we did some really good radio, some of the best radio I've done. And, hey, Jim, forget about the Sparrow for a second. Stop and look behind him at Ike. Did you forget he was my also executive producer? You poached two guys from me,
dude,
which
I'll
I'm happy. You must have a big payroll over there. So I got connections through Ike and Adam Hawk, and they're both great guys. And Hawk's one of the best guys I've worked with, and I wish both those guys and Alvin when I guest hosted for you, which was a pleasure working with him on the board. He's one of the best I've ever seen.
JT the Brick joining me. So the book that I read from, The Handoff, has got two chapters devoted to the jungle. It's awesome. The book is also mainly about your experience with the late, great Andrew Ashwood. He's somebody that I work with closely, somebody we both think very highly of. For those who don't know, who was Andrew Ashwood and what did he mean to you?
Well, Andrew Ashwood, you meant a lot to him. And Andrew was a program director in San Antonio. He was named BJ Hunter as a DJ. Legendary back in the day, and he got into sports radio. And I think he's one of the best program directors of all time because he cared about his talent, he cared about people, and most importantly, he cared about the audience. He would go to the bar and buy the whole bar a round of shots. He brought you into San Antonio along with me and other hosts, and he was my friend. And then he became my boss, and we were best friends when he became my boss. We were so tight. And we had a falling out. You can imagine what it was like working for your friend And why we had that falling out, because I was probably just too difficult to deal with at the time, he ended up getting married. And I thought I would be in his wedding party or his best man, and he didn't invite me to the wedding. And he came back, and I was crushed. And he invited me in his office one day, and he said, sit down. And it was on a Friday, and I thought, man, maybe I'm getting whacked. And he turned to me, and he said, hey, I got cancer. I have real serious cancer. Let's talk about a plan on how to beat this. And we dropped everything. We never talked about our problem, what was bothering me or him at the time. And it was one of the biggest lessons of my life, called the handoff, because he handed off all these lessons to me in life when he knew he was fighting probably an unwinnable battle at the time with cancer, and I was his chemo partner. And it changed my life, and it all connected. I never would have met Andrew if I never won the Smack-Off.
Amazing.
And that's the connection. So part of my legacy through the Smack-Off is also through Andrew Ashwood, who was a big fan of yours, and gave me great years of my career working for someone I truly loved and helped me learn more about life than just sports talk radio.
JT the Brick won the inaugural Smack-Off. His book is called The Handoff. It is a great read. You want to make sure you get it. JT, you've had an amazing career. I am truly proud of you. I'm proud to say that you won the first ever Smack-Off. Great to get caught up very quickly. You're doing a national show for SiriusXM. If people want to find it, how do they do so?
Yeah, I'm on weeknights, Sunday to Thursday night on Mad Dog Sports Radio. I also host an evening drive show in Vegas every week, and working for the Raiders now, going on my 22nd year. And again, I want to thank everybody listening. I want to thank the jungle. I want to thank everyone for this opportunity in my life. And for all the contestants coming up, get your head in gear. If you don't win this contest, it doesn't matter. Second, third, fifth, 19th means nothing. You win, you join this powerful fraternity, and I will buy you beers, and you will buy me chicken wings, and we will think a tour stops, and we will be the next chapter and legacy of the Smack-Off. Win or go home a loser.
JT the Brick, my man. Great job, JT. So good to get caught up. Thanks for joining us. Your thoughts and reaction to